Hello there. This is Dr. Alan Hedberg, and this is the Psychology Report. Trust that you enjoyed that little bit of music to start out with by David Doring. David Doring, and a great flautist. But today what I'd like to do is to chat with you a little bit about depression. Depression has increasingly become a major problem in America with youth, but also with older people. Perhaps 10, almost up to 20% of the population in America experiences depression at some point in time, some chronically, and some just acutely, given a particular situation that occurs in their life. Now, depression is a disorder of mood. It relates to an ongoing feeling of sadness and mild anxiety to moderate anxiety, feelings of emptiness, feelings of loneliness, feelings of inadequacy, feelings of hopelessness and irritability and restlessness, perhaps even feelings of guilt and feeling worthless and helpless at times. So there's a number of feelings that are associated with depression, and those are kind of sad, negative emotions that tend to prevail, but they have to be addressed. It's important to think differently. It's important to learn how to think differently. It's important to be around people who do think differently, to engage in activities that will force you to think differently. Differently in the sense of being more positive, more hopeful, more enduring, more energetic, you know, more positive, more appreciative, if you will. But you know, it also has kind of a, depression also has kind of a loss of interest. You know, we don't want to do anything. We sit around and we mope. Forget to go to engagements or to activities. We cancel engagements and activities. We don't even look for opportunities to go anywhere, and we just isolate and become withdrawn and isolative. We forget to engage in activities that have in the past and we've enjoyed and been part of our pleasure involvement. So with that comes feelings of tiredness and depression and just anxiety and just a sense of loss that one lives with all the time and feeling lonely. You know, loss is an important thing in part of depression. When somebody dies, we lose. We lose the person. But you know what we really lose? We lose the positive, enjoying activities, enjoyable activities that we've done with that person over the years. We lose kind of a playmate, if you will. We lose a social contact. We lose a partner. And that's a lot of loss there, because it's with partners and playmates and colleagues that we get our reinforcement, we get our rewards, we get our satisfaction, we get our encouragement. And when that person's gone because they move away or they die or they change their work schedule or they have a different set of interests going on in their life, we lose a lot there. And that often then brings about a feeling of depression within us because of that loss. Depression also is related to kind of a feeling of helplessness. You know, when you are down and in the depths of depression, or you're struggling with a problem you can't solve, or you're dealing with a relationship in your life that you can't improve, and you try different things. You try one thing, you try another, and you try another, and you try another. To no avail. It doesn't help. Doesn't work. Well, what happens then? We get this sense of helplessness, that no matter what I try, no matter what I do, I'm helpless. And that brings about a feeling of depression. When you conclude that you're helpless, depression is a strong emotion that emerges. And at the far end of the extreme of that, of course, is the feeling of hopelessness. You know, if you don't really think that you can ever make a difference, that this situation will ever change, that you're going to have to live with it the rest of your life, and there will be no opportunity to improve your circumstances in the situation, then you feel hopeless. And when you feel hopeless, we're in the depths of despair, of depression. And that is really a serious level of clinical depression that takes major time and effort and involvements to improve. Depression also is associated with sleeplessness and times of maybe excessive eating or maybe the lack of eating. One can just have thoughts of death, have thoughts of suicide, have thoughts of ending it all, have thoughts of just being worthless and having no opportunity to make your life any better or any different. But you know, ultimately, over a period of time, as depression becomes chronic, it starts to eat away at the body. Stomach problems develop and becomes constipated, or you become with an irritable bowel syndrome, or maybe the heart is affected so that you get angina, which means you don't get enough blood flow to the heart. You get a kind of a pain in the chest and pain in the arm on the left side. Ultimately, of course, it could cause a heart attack in the sense that the arteries and the veins clog, and then the blood cannot flow to the heart, and then, of course, the heart becomes traumatized, even to the point that it becomes impaired permanently or maybe result in death. So when you look at kind of the idea of depression, chronic depression particularly, the body begins to break down under chronic depression situations. Stomach, heart, pain, headaches, profuse sweating. There's just a lot of different kind of illnesses and diseases and bodily functions that now cease to properly function because of chronic depression. So we're in trouble. A person's in trouble if that's the case. And it really has to be addressed, you know, pretty strongly. You know, when we look at depression, there's kind of three ways that you can look at treatment. One is that you can take medication. There are a number of medications on the market that a doctor can prescribe. These are usually called antidepressants. And there are about 10 different major types of antidepressants that can be used. And we try, and there's no guarantee of one or the other. There's no absolute way to know which one works. But it's a trial and error situation. So a doctor sets down a path. You know, for about a month or so, he tries one. And if that works, fine. If it doesn't, then we try another. And then if that doesn't work, we try another. Until a medication is found to be a little bit helpful. Unfortunately, a lot of medications either don't help at all, or they'll help for a while, and then they slack off and they have very little benefit. So the other treatment approach, of course, is that is what sometimes referred to as talk therapy. Sometimes referred to this as psychotherapy, counseling, if you will. That's when two people sit down together, a depressed person and a therapist. Sometimes that involves a spouse. Sometimes that involves an entire family. Sometimes that involves a trusted friend. And where there's a talk session going on, where you look for the sources of depression, you look for signs of depression and try to figure out ways that that depression can be warded off and changed and prevented. So talk therapy is very important because usually you can find out the source of the depression. You can usually find out what it is that is creating the grief or the strife within a person or the feelings of despair and loss and then figure out ways to overcome that feeling of depression and that sense of loss. Perhaps new friends, perhaps a new job, perhaps a new social outlet, perhaps a new volunteer activity of some type, perhaps a new exercise plan, maybe a different social group in some kind of way. There's lots of various activities that can be done to supplement the talk therapy so that that the depression can begin to ease itself and move away from a person's life. And then, of course, there's the third way, and that is the combination of using medication and talk therapy. Now, what does the research say on that? Well, it's very clear. The research says use the combined factors of medication and talk therapy. That's your best chances of getting benefit. Make sure the physician provides the medication and make sure the physician refers you or works with and coordinates with a therapist so that there is a joint effort. There's a team approach, so to speak, in attacking that depression. Your physician, and your therapist. The therapist is a psychologist, or could be a social worker, or in some cases it could be a marriage and family counselor, depending on the skills of the person or depending on the nature of the problem that's involved. But you want to make sure you have a therapist that understands depression. Make sure you have a therapist that understands the strategies of depression and can overcome them and has a degree and a theoretical approach and experience and training with depressed people and the feelings of depression so that it can work together. So that's the main thing. Get that combination of medication and talk therapy. But if you can't do that, you have to choose one or the other. Well, you choose then talk therapy. Talk therapy has always been found to be effective in itself. Just a little bit less effective than medication and talk therapy, but sometimes just as good as. So talk therapy is your second best, and use it, utilize it. And then the third option, of course, is just medication by itself. Usually we don't like to do that. We usually don't recommend that because that is less effective and it doesn't help put the picture together. It doesn't help put the puzzle together for an individual. It doesn't help them understand kind of what has been going on in their life and what's been happening and to prevent another depression from occurring in the future. So that's kind of how we look at treatment, and we look at the source of depression and the signs of depression, the symptoms of depression, and then how depression affects our physical body. So there's a kind of a broad range of issues that one has to kind of deal with, and you got to make sure you have a therapist that is well experienced, well trained, knowledgeable in the field of depression, but also understands health and understands the body and how the body functions, and then understands how therapy, talk therapy, can coordinate with medication therapy so that we work together, and we have to have therapists that will talk to each other, will work together, and then you as a patient will be well served. Now, how effective is treatment for depression? Well, it's not 100% effective. The research has shown that 75-80% of depressed patients who undergo therapy, undergo a medication plan, and stick with it for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months or so, get better and improve. So there is a benefit, but you got to stay with it. And you have to kind of work together. And you have to make sure that you do everything you can on your part to bring about a healthy body and a healthy mind. What can you do on your own? Well, there are things you can do on your own. Exercise. We know that exercise helps depression. Be around people who are positive. Not people who are always happy and joyful, but just people who are uplifting and encouraging and supportive. Be around friends that are important to you. You know, friends make good medicine, you know. So be around friends. And make sure that you engage in activities, tasks, that are somewhat complicated, but that you can work on and that you can accomplish. You can learn a new task. You can learn a new skill. You can learn something new in your life so that you get that sense of accomplishment, that feeling of goodness about yourself, that feeling that you've done something nice and you've done something new and something different. You know, that really does help depression. Turn on music that is enjoyable, music that's relaxing, music that is uplifting, music that is happy, music that is stimulating, if you will. Stay away from the old sad music of something that's slow and sad. Stay away from that kind of thing. Eat your favorite foods. Be with people who you like to eat with. Go out for lunch. Go out for tea. Go out for coffee. Be around people who are your friends and who you find as encouraging. But get out and be part of the social world. The more you isolate, the more depression. The more you get out, the more you're likely, you know, to overcome it. And no matter what you do, just positively move forward one day at a time. Get out of bed early. Go to bed at the same time. Get up at the same time. And even if you don't sleep real well, still get up at the same time in the morning and just keep yourself going, one foot in front of the other, even though it's sometimes difficult to do that. Make an alliance with a friend who will call you every day, or somebody who can stop by and visit with you every day, or whatever that might be. But certainly you want to make sure that you have opportunity to enjoy the company of other people, because that's going to make your life that much more enjoyable yourself. So there you are. Make sure that you do something for the depression that's in your life. Now, this has been the Psychology Report, and this is Dr. Alan Hedberg. I have a book out that I think might be of help to you. Go to my website, which is booksbyhedberg.com, booksbyhedberg.com. The book is Achieving and Living a Healthy Lifestyle in a World of Stress. Achieving and Living a Healthy Lifestyle in a World of Stress. In that book, I've discussed depression and some of the strategies of overcoming depression, as well as anxiety and other kind of mood states. But you can do it. But sometimes having a book or having kind of a guideline like that might be very helpful to you to kind of address this issue and make sure you handle it, wisely. Anyway, this has been the Psychology Report, and this has been Dr. Alan Hedberg.